Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
The Blood River Radio family. I've had to kind of laugh. I guess I repeat something Don said, Don Wassel on the break. What I had planned to the show originally didn't come out. It resembled the way the show panned out. It resembled somewhat what I had planned, but it got totally morphed into something else. But I think it was really great. Don said he was laughing during the break. He said, "Eddie, I'll say one thing." He said, "Your show is free flowing, if nothing else." He said, "Man, it's just you never know what the hell you're going to do." But we had Don on, and I recognize he's such a talent, and he's doing so well. He has a great grasp of politics. The guy knows he's a lawyer. He organized. He was one of the founders of the Populist Party. But he was laughing about that. But I said, I can't let this talent go. I've got him on with Jason Kessler, and I think they did a great job. It wasn't typically hellfire and brimstone bombardier, but we don't have to do that every single time. Some of the questions, I disagree with a few things that they said, Don said, but very little. By and large, the degree was pretty much everything he said. I do think that the Jews absolutely control the United States in the Western world. I mean, there's no hands down in what few Gentiles we have in power. And I'm getting ready to go to Gene just a second. I'm just explaining what we did the last couple of hours. What few Gentiles we have in place, even the people like Elon Musk, those Jews can crush him in a heartbeat if they want to, and they absolutely control. When you hear about the deep state in the United States, especially the United States, the deep state in the UK, in Canada, I mean, it is straight up Jewish, straight up. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. The power that the Gentiles have in this country in the West is just like minuscule compared to the power that the Jews have. With that, now we're shifting gears to the third hour, which is the third hour will always be the Bitter Ender's hour, and will always do whatever everything he likes. He always brings great stuff to the table. Normally it's Confederate history, but today it's going to be kind of Confederate history in a way, because he's going to be doing a book review, and I'm very anxious to hear about it. So once again, I'm going to shut the hell up and go to a great talent, and we're going to welcome the old Bitter Ender. How you doing, Bitter Ender?
I'm doing very well, Eddie. Thank you very much. Appreciate that, and hope you're doing well and preparing for the big freeze that's supposed to hit us tonight and tomorrow. So,
man, I'm dreading that.
My friend up in Canada, I was emailing back and forth with him last year when we had our one big snow that came through, and I said, gosh, Dexter, we had you sent that Canadian weather down on us, and we had 8 inches of snow on my garden wall, and it was 12 degrees. And he emailed me back, said 8 inches and 12 degrees. If we had something like that, we'd be out in shorts and sandals and firing up the grill. So I guess the Canadians can take this a lot better than we can down here in the South. So,
oh,
anyway.
Man. And you know, our other family member, Blood River Radio, Monica Schaefer, she's really busy today. She's got company. She's going to come on if we needed her. But I said, she won't take off. So we go ahead and take off. But I call her a crazy skater. She has this term, Bitter Ender. I forgot the exact term she uses. But this is the kind of people, Blood River Radio, this is the kind of people y'all listen to. We're kind of all nutsies. But she carries a pair of skates, Gene. I don't know if you do this about her, in her car. And she travels all over Canada. And Canada still pretty much has a lot of wild area. And yeah, she comes up across a creek, a free-flowing creek, and it looks like the ice is halfway decent. She'll just get out in the middle of nowhere. No one knows where she is. If she's to fall off the ice and eat somebody up, no one could save her. And she's this icy skate zone is just thin. It's so much thinner than I thought. But she calls it, I call it crazy skating. But she does that all the time. Anyway, that's the kind of people we have. Now, Bombardier, he doesn't have skates. He just carries his pickup trucks are full of swords.
Because yeah, there we go.
But
got a couple of things we want to Oh, no, go ahead, Eddie. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying skate swords, what the hell? It costs a lot of money, but we have to keep replacing them. But go ahead. Go ahead, Ben Ritter. I can't wait for that review.
We had talked about a book review that we're going to cover, but wanted to throw in a couple of other things here. Talk about three disasters that have hit the country in the last 3 weeks. Now, probably the worst disaster is going to end come Monday afternoon, and
yes,
we'll be rid of Sleepy Joe. So that disaster is going to be taken care of, and Lord of mercy, I don't know if even Trump can undo the damage that Biden and the communist crats have done over the last 4 years. But hopefully he can. Hope he can live up to some of the things he talked about when he was running. I think he's learned his lesson. Don't trust Washington insiders. Get people from outside the rotten hole there on the Potomac and the cesspool on the Potomac, and get your own people in there. So that's one disaster that's going to be taken care of. The other two were the attacks in the attack in New Orleans, right down Bourbon Street, that killed 14 or 15 people, and then the California wildfires. And, you know, after everything like that happens, whether it's a school shooting or somebody shoots up a church or, you know, what happened in New Orleans, people come out and fill up the square or in front of a church or something like that with all these flowers to show their sympathy, and rows of flowers, and then photographs of the victims, which is fine, I guess. People want to show their sympathy and support for the families, but I mean, what good does it do? It's not going to bring the victims back. And, you know, it just keeps reminding the family of what's happened to the people they lost. I think rather than wasting a lot of symbolic gestures, why not go after the people that caused these? And if you look at what happened in New Orleans and in California, it comes back to pretty much the same thing. Political correctness, putting people in power that are liberal, that have no common sense. And even the victims or the people that have to live in these areas, you can't have too much sympathy for them because they voted to put these clowns in positions
yes.
of power. And so I don't know. Let's take New Orleans example. New Orleans at one time was one of the greatest cities in America, had the most diverse culture, Spanish, English, French, and Southern culture. And now it's all run by blacks. And any time that blacks take over a city, it's a disaster area. It brings in corruption, poor planning, and incompetent leadership. And that's exactly what happened in New Orleans, that they didn't plan for that event. They want to have big events there, like the Sugar Bowl, and they want to have all the stuff on Bourbon Street, and now they're going to have the Super Bowl there. Hopefully they learn their lesson, and they're going to do better on their security at the Super Bowl. But it bred a system of corruption and incompetence. And if you look at cities that are run by blacks, you have incompetent corruption in all of these cities. I'm sorry, Eddie, but Memphis is one of them.
Yes,
take Detroit, you take Chicago, you take Richmond, you take Atlanta, Birmingham, Jackson, Mississippi, and certainly New Orleans. But the blacks didn't move in and take it over by force. They were voted in by a lot of liberal voters that think,
True. Oh,
gosh, we've been so terrible, we've got to put these people in power. Let me give you an example of New Orleans, for instance. About 2 or 3 years ago, the Sons of Confederate Veterans had their national reunion. And, of course, they weren't going to have it in New Orleans. I mean, these people aren't stupid to go into a prison, an open-air prison like New Orleans. Had it up in Metairie, which is a small town outside of New Orleans. But they told them, the people that were attending there, do not go into New Orleans at night. They said, you are risking your life to go down there at night. And they said, well, we wanted to see Bourbon Street. And they said, well, fine, go down there to the French Quarter, during the daytime and drive down Bourbon Street, but don't get out. And they said, it has changed. Now, I know my dad, he and a lot of his friends were big into Dixieland music. You know, Al Hurt on the trumpet, yeah. Pete Fountain and all those
places.
I love
Al Hurt.
Oh, yeah, all those places they had in New Orleans, and that's what they wanted to go to and the kind of music they listened to. But they were telling these people at the SCV convention, well, that's not Bourbon Street anymore. It's rap music and black, you know, just the vulgar culture that they bring to any situation where they dominate. And they said, don't go down there. You're taking your life in your hands. So another thing I want to throw out, that the lies and misinformation that are always spread about our history and our culture. And they wanted to get rid of certain statues in New Orleans.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. And my big question is, what good did it do?
Yes. Can't wait to hear that. Be right back, folks.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Hello friends, this is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Step into the boots of the American West with Range Magazine, where grit meets grace. This is a front row seat to the stories, struggles, and triumphs of ranchers, farmers, and stewards of the land. From jaw-dropping photography to no-nonsense reporting, Range brings you the untold tales of life on the range. Whether you're a city dweller with a cowboy's heart or living life where the pavement ends, Range speaks to the soul of the West. Subscribe today at rangemagazine.com.
Dear Blood Group Radio family, I'm going to make this really quick because Gene has a long ways to go and a short time to get there. You know, he was talking about how these people in places like, California, like probably the world's largest insane asylums in California. But they brought a lot of this on themselves. It may be hard to say, but they voted these damn satanic, Satan-worshipping communist people in, like the governor out there. And like the mayor of San Francisco and the mayor of Los Angeles. But what I do have sympathy for the people like in Western North Carolina. They were still suffering from that horrible weather we had not long ago. They're living in tents. Yet I just heard today they're being evicted from some of their properties they have off their land by FEMA. And even though their houses have been completely destroyed, Gene, in the same way in California, even though the houses have been completely destroyed, they said they're still having to being forced to pay their house notes. But I'd just like to tune that in. You kind of opened that door there when you talked about these, these people voting in these nut jobs in. But go ahead, Gene. Hope it didn't throw you off your plan too much.
No, that's fine. But that does happen. You know, I think Ronald Reagan said, "We're from the government. We're here to help." It's one of the worst things you can hear.
Yeah. The most horrifying statement on earth.
No matter what you went through, the next disaster from the government's going to be even worse. So, yeah, that's their mentality, and that's the whole thing about big government mentality and how they operate. And they have political axes to grind against these red states that voted against the regime. And so, of course, they're not going to help people in North Carolina. That section of North Carolina was very, very conservative. So they're not going to help them. They claim they don't have any money, and they don't have any money because they gave it away to all these illegals and put them up in five-star hotels, gave them these, I don't know how much they cost, $900, $1,000 phones, whatever it is, and food and medical care and everything they need. And no, they don't have any money left to pay for citizens that actually had to pay taxes and pay for all these freebies they give away. But anyway, that's just typical of the government. So we'll go back to New Orleans for a second that we were talking about before the break, and to kind of tie in our Confederate history with us, they got all upset down there. And the white politicians panicked when the darkies got upset about some of these Confederate statues that were in New Orleans. And one of them, they pressured them and they took it down. And this always amazes me when they do this, they talk about healing and bringing everyone together. And these symbols of racism and slavery divide our community. And so they get rid of our Confederate statues, they vandalize Confederate graves, and it doesn't bring anybody together. It gives more power to the blacks and it drives the whites out of these cities. And I think that's what we're getting to. We're getting back to segregation in this country with whites moving out of the cities and say, look, we can't do anything about it, so we just have to turn it over to them. We'll get out of them. We'll put our children in private schools or home schools and stay away from these public schools in these cities, which we don't want our children being beaten up and having their lunch money taken away from them and the curriculum dumbed down where you know, you get out of some of these schools and you're just as dumb as a box of rocks because that's what they have to do with the curriculum. So anyway, New Orleans, they took down the statue of a Louisiana Confederate General, Pierre G. Beauregard. They took down the statue of Robert E. Lee, one of the greatest Americans in our history.
Yes.
Perfect gentleman, a devout Christian, brilliant military strategist, got rid of his statue, and they took down the statue of President Jefferson Davis, who was president of the Confederate States of America, and Louisiana was part of the Confederate States of America. So they took his statue down as well, and then they go into all this hogwash about we're bringing our community together and you know, healing years and years of hatred. Well, that doesn't work. That just angers people even more. And New Orleans is now on one of my no-go-to cities, and I'm sorry to say this. I don't go to Memphis and spend any money. Go up to Bartlett, that's fine. And for our listeners, that's a suburb of Memphis.
Well, you spent money on Blood River Radio.
Yeah, I wouldn't spend a dime in downtown Memphis for what they've done, attacking the Forrest statue and having his grave and the wife of his grave moved out of Forest Park in Memphis and took down the equestrian statue. So, you know, that's my little attempt at getting back at these crooked politicians and the blacks that pressure them into this. And I'm sure there's a lot of money thrown in there by these different Jewish organizations, the Anti-Defamation League and all of the things like that, that they always seem to take the side against white Southern conservative Christians and put their two cents worth into it. So then we'll go back to what we were talking about, the other disaster. So that was disaster number two. Yes. Disaster number one, Biden's getting out of there, so that disaster's been taken care of.
Yes.
And disaster number two was New Orleans, and disaster number three is the California wildfires. And, you know, I'm sorry for the individuals that lost their home, but I think – nobody said this on national TV, but I think these people in California are learning what it was like to be a Southerner during our war for Southern independence when the Yankee Army invaded the South. And they show these drone shots flying over or the news reporter standing on a street and talking about, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. There are only chimneys out here. This whole town is gone. Well, what happened to Jackson, Mississippi? Sherman came through there, not only burned it once, he didn't burn it enough the first time, he burned it a second time. And then they laughed about it and called Jackson, Mississippi, Chimneyville, because that was the only thing that was left, stone and brick chimneys. All the other structures, military and private homes, had been burned to the ground. The same thing happened in Columbia, South Carolina, when Sherman's army came up had left Atlanta, marched across Georgia, and then turned and came up through, coming up through the Carolinas to try to trap Lee's army in Virginia from the south. They came into Columbia and set fire to Columbia, South Carolina, the capital of Columbia. And when the fire trucks came out, horse-drawn fire engines that they had back then, came out to try to put out these fires, the Yankee soldiers used the bayonets on the rifle and the officers used their swords to poke holes in the fire hoses. So they had no pressure.
Damn.
And they couldn't put out the fires in Columbia. And other cities in the South were burned. Atlanta was burned. Sherman, before he left Atlanta and headed toward the Savannah and the coast, he forced all the civilians out of Atlanta and then set fire to the town. So, you know, the destruction in California was massive. It was complete in these areas. You know, people barely got out of there with their clothes and whatever they could carry. And many places they had to just abandon their automobile and start running. And, yeah, that's bad. But I think they need to learn a history lesson from that. And the people that they talked about, I heard a lot of the people talking about how these different people in the movie industry out there, producers and camera crews and things like that, that had their homes in the Pacific Palisades and some of the entertainers, they don't mind making movies that are critical of the South or vilify the South or the Southerners or conservatives or anything like that. They think that's great. And now they've had this huge fire that swept through there and wiped out everything they had. And during the war, Southerners, the mighty Abraham Lincoln that they worship like he was some kind of deity, the mighty Abraham Lincoln and his armies destroyed everything that Southern people had. They, first of all, they'd steal anything of value out of their homes when the Yankee army came through. Jewelry, silverware, whatever. And that was a joke. I've forgotten who made the joke now. They said they were going to New York to speak, and his grandmother told him, when you do, check the silverware, the silver goblets or the silver water up there, and see if our name's on the bottom of it. And, you know, it was stolen by the Yankee Army. See if you can find it when you go north. But anyway, they stole everything they could of value, and then they set fire to people's homes, or private homes, burned them down. And you see those photographs of Atlanta after it was burned, and Charleston after the artillery attacks against Charleston, where the Federal Army just elevated their siege guns, fired over the Confederate lines, and used the steeples of churches in Charleston as aiming points to drop shells on them to try to smash the roof. And they admitted it. They wanted to do as much damage as they could to these churches because every church in Charleston, the pews were filled up with wounded civilians and soldiers. They completely overrun the hospitals and private homes, and now they were using the churches as hospital. And they figured if they dropped shells through the roof, they could kill the doctors and nurses that were taking care of all the wounded. And the wounded people that were, you know, unable to get up and get out, they would just be trapped under there when the roof collapsed on them. So this is the kind of enemies that we were facing, and this is who they hold up as the great heroes out there in their movies and documentaries. I remember a guy that was head of Walt Disney. And after Mr. Disney, that started the company, passed on, and it went through the next group that took over, it was a Jewish guy, and he was laughing about, well, when I want to think about drawing a villain, I think about a Nazi flag or a Confederate flag, and that makes me draw a really terrible villain for some of the cartoons that they had. So thanks a lot. We really appreciate that. I wouldn't wish bad luck on it. Oh, yeah, I take that back. I would wish bad luck on people. I wish
Bob
his home was one of the ones that got burned down.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah, that was the guy. I'd forgotten his name, but I remember that statement. Boy, that stuck in my mind. And so, you know, then looking at those scenes, like I said, it looked like Atlanta. It looked like Jackson, Columbia, Richmond, Petersburg, all of these towns in the South that were just totally destroyed. Just block after block after block after block of burned out houses and buildings and nothing but a chimney standing at the end of it. And so, you know, how can we have sympathy for people that relish.
We got to go to a quick break, Gene.
Happened in the South. Okay, sorry, didn't hear the music.
It's quite right.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. It is cold and getting colder in the next few days. National Weather Service meteorologist Mark Chouinard.
A lot of the country from like the Rockies on eastward are going to get into the well below normal temperatures starting Sunday and then kind of lasting into the coming week. First areas to see it will be like the Rockies into the northern plains. With the wind chills, we do have areas, forecasted wind chills that are colder than negative 40.
And National Weather Service meteorologist Andrew Orison.
It's going to be very, very wintry in nature, very cold temperatures, well below normal temperatures, even here for the middle of January. And we're going to have certainly a winter storm threat as well. That just takes us into Inauguration Day itself.
Also at townhall.com, all of the nation's living presidents will attend Donald Trump's inauguration Monday.
When the outgoing Biden administration gives way to the incoming Trump administration on Monday, former presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama will be there to witness the peaceful transfer of power. The former first ladies also will attend, except for Michelle Obama. It'll be the second such gathering in under 2 weeks. All of the living presidents attended this month's state funeral for former President Jimmy Carter here in Washington. Greg Clugston for Inauguration 2025.
Well, President-elect Donald Trump says he will, quote, most likely give TikTok 90 more days to work out a deal. It would allow the video sharing platform to avoid a total U.S. ban. Trump says in an NBC News interview today he hasn't decided what to do, but was considering granting the reprieve after he is sworn into office on Monday. A law that prohibits mobile app stores and internet hosting services from distributing TikTok to U.S. users takes effect tomorrow morning. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You heard me talk about Relief Factor and how so many people enjoy a better, more pain-free life because of it. If you're dealing with everyday pain, it makes sense you'd want to try it first. Well, Relief Factor makes that pretty pain-free, too, with their three-week quick start kit for only $19.95. An easy, affordable way to see how it could literally change your life, like it has mine. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or eliminate pain. In fact, the longer you take it, the more effective it is. Trying it couldn't be easier with their three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. And it just takes a phone call to 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF. Wherever you're having pain, every day you feel better is a day you live better. Try Relief Factor's three-week quick start. Visit ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF for Relief Factor.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
This is a battle. A battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, Brother Gene, Bitter Ender's going to go back with you just a second. He's got a lot to cover. But I'd just like to comment on something he made. I was telling Gene during the break, I remember full well, just like it was yesterday, a cold, dark night, wintry night, when these evil bastards removed the statue of one of the greatest Americans ever lived, General Nathan Bedford Forrest. His wife was buried there. His son was buried there. His grandson, who flew planes in World War II against our German brothers. But anyway, I'd like to say this. Call me superstitious or whatever, or sensitive to mysticism. But I'm sitting there watching TV, watching these giant, these big power machines, the cherry pickers, we used to call them. I used to tote iron when I was a kid. Remove that, the most beautiful statue you've ever seen in your life, of General Nathan Bedford Forrest. And now Gene told us several times that the people saved nickels and dimes and even, you know, when they were destitute and around the turn of the century to build that statue. But anyway, to get to the point, it gave me the most horrible feeling. I was literally nauseous. Even my wife, who's not anything into this movement like we are, it upset her greatly. It had the same effect on a lot of other people. I know that there's something supernatural going there. Gene, I think it was Satan. I think we fight against Satan. But I didn't want to take up too much of that time. But
no, you're absolutely right, though, Eddie. And you know, the destruction that's gone on in our cities, and the hypocrisy of them saying we're taking this evil thing down to bring us together. Memphis, you know, all of New Orleans, wherever, Atlanta, Charleston, Columbia, South Carolina, and you look at Richmond, Virginia. That Monument Avenue in Richmond, Virginia was one of the most beautiful streets in the United States. I've been there several times. It's four lanes. It's got a wide median that runs down the middle with all these old oak trees on it. And instead of a lot of traffic lights, it has these traffic circles there. And in many of those circles, they had statues of Confederate heroes. Robert E. Lee, Thomas Stonewall Jackson, Jeb Stuart, Matthew Fontaine Murray, who is the Pathfinder of the Seas, they tore them all down. The only thing that's left in these traffic circles anymore are the base where those equestrian statues stood, and they've been covered up in spray paint with all kind of vulgar language, and that's yes. The monuments that they have in Richmond now. And, of course, the crime has skyrocketed. It doesn't do anything to bring people together. It just turns the city over to the criminal element. Back out to California, I want to make one more point out there. These drones or helicopters that have been flying over and showing you the devastation that is, which is massive, and it is total. I mean, you see burned hulks of cars and, you know, just stumps of trees and chimneys left, and that's it. Anything that was any type of wood or anything combustible, it's gone. I couldn't help but think, number one, about the South and what the South looked like after the wonderful U.S. Army came through. And number two, what the German city of Dresden looked like after it was firebombed by the Allies. And the huge, huge fires that started in Dresden, they used these incendiary bombs. On that. Well, the first thing, they had an air raid. The British came in first and dropped explosive charges on it. And then they got the reason was then they got all the rescue people out there, the fire trucks, ambulances, first responders to get out in the streets and try to dig people out of the rubble and try to repair whatever they could. After that, the American bombers came over and dropped the incendiary bombs on Dresden. And it was not a military target. it was packed full of civilians. They don't really know how many civilians were in Dresden, because this was toward the end of the war, in the spring of 1945, and the Russian army was closing in from the east, and so many of the German people and people from other countries and Europe were running away from the Russians and piled into Dresden. And they estimate over 100,000 people were probably burned up there and just incinerated. The heat was so intense, the asphalt melted in the street, and the people trying to run away were struck in the asphalt. And then these backdrafts on these fire, this huge fire, just pulled them into the flames and just burned them up. And but they don't know for sure. They conservative estimates 100,000. I've heard other people say probably 200,000 were killed in this massive air raid.
Yes.
And then the pictures they showed after all of that look pretty much like what California looks like now after these huge fires swept through
yes.
there. So anyway,
could that be payback for God Almighty?
Well, like they used to say in Vietnam, payback's a medevac. So,
yes, yes. Amen to that, brother. Double amen. You know, that California burning the ground like that, I just wonder if God Almighty isn't saying what goes
around.
Well,
what we did to the Germans, look what happened to California.
Yes,
and those German civilians, they were civilians that weren't military targets there. It wasn't Berlin, the capital of Germany, and it wasn't Hamburg and the docks or some of these other places where they're making war materials. It was just packed full of civilians, and there was no reason to do that other than I think it's the Yankee mentality of picking on a weaker opponent and a weaker kid, you know, like a bully on the playground when you were in elementary school, and a bully picking on the weaker kids and trying to intimidate them and, you know, breaking the will of the people. And of course, I heard, you know, we heard that about Lincoln and why they were making war on civilians down here, to break the will of the people. Well, what it did, the Republican Party was hated in the South for over 100 years after the war. The party of Lincoln, you couldn't get elected to anything in the South if you ran as a Republican from 1865 up until the early 1970s. And I know in Tennessee, we had 9 representatives in Congress. And every once in a while, they would get a Republican out of East Tennessee, where there was a lot of support for the pro-Union side during the war. In fact, East Tennessee was pretty well split up among the counties over there. Every once in a while, they'd have a Republican. But the rest of the state, the only election that counted was the Democratic primary, because in Middle and West Tennessee, the Republicans wouldn't even run somebody for an office because they weren't going to get any votes. So, I mean, the Republican Party was that hated because of what they had done to the South during Reconstruction, not reconstruction, redestruction after the war, and the laws that were passed to grind the Southerners' face into the ground by Lincoln's Republican Party. Of course, Lincoln had gotten whacked, but Thaddeus Stevens and Seward and Benjamin Wade from Ohio, they waged war on the South for the next 12 years to just really grind the South into the dirt after the war, because the Confederate armies had all surrendered. They thought that they would get honorable surrender terms and were told, if you lay down your weapons, not take up arms against the United States, you would be returned as citizens to the United States. And the Southern soldiers and leaders were foolish enough to believe that, and the Southern armies were disarmed. And once they were, then here came the carpetbaggers, and it's like a swarm of vultures just descending on the South to steal everything that wasn't destroyed during the war and pass all these laws that Southerners couldn't vote. They eliminated the states and turned the Southeast into military districts, like District 1 was Virginia and 2 was North and South Carolina and so forth and so on. They wouldn't be states today in the South. They'd still be military districts, except in order to, they outfox themselves. In order to pass the 14th and 15th Amendment, they had to have states vote on it, not military districts. So they said, oh, we goofed. Okay, We'll let you back in the union if you promise to vote for the 14th and 15th Amendment. We'll return Military District Number 5 to Mississippi and Alabama, and Military District Number 6, Louisiana and Arkansas. We'll make you states again if you'll vote on these amendments. So, you know, it was so much corruption. It was unbelievable. So anyhow, that being said, we'll get on to our business about the book we wanted to talk about. Then I got a copy of this for a Christmas present. It's called National Divorce, The Peaceful Solution to Irreconcilable Differences. And it's put out by Tom Woods, and he has a lot of podcasts. And one of the subjects that he brought up and has had a lot of people call into this show, and he's done interviews with some very prominent people on this show about why we need to look at secession again. And the point he makes is that the country is so divided and so split on so many issues, there's no way that we can have a compromise in Congress or in state elections. So why force people to be together? Why take them by the scruff of their neck and beat their heads together and say, okay, now love each other, and people can't understand why we don't want to be like California, or why we don't want to be like New York or Massachusetts, or Elizabeth Warren making the laws for us, or Schumer, or anybody like that. So we'll get back into a little more detail on that and some of the issues he brings up after the break.
Can't wait to hear it, dude. Be right back, folks.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family. This hour has really flown by. I'm going to shut my mouth. We're going to go back to this book review. I can't wait to hear it myself. Go ahead, Gene.
Well, some of the things that Tom Woods has in this book, National Divorce, The Peaceful Solution to Irreconcilable Differences, he talks about how the country is so split on ideological lines, and that there's a large segment of the country that cannot abide by us, that have traditional values, that have Christian values, that have belief in the Constitution as it was originally written. And there's no, you can't argue with these people. You can't present facts to them. They don't want to hear facts. And here's a quote out of his book. He said, the reason that the left can't abide the idea of any kind of secession is that for them, American history quite literally starts with the Civil War. Everything before that is almost like prehistory. But for them, it's very much the Civil War, because before that, we were a flawed, evil nation based on slavery. And after that, we had the redemption, and everything became wonderful. So to them, the South has to be constantly attacked and serve as their whipping boy to demonstrate their own virtue to themselves. The way they think of it is this: I'm a good person because I'm not like those other people who are bad. So if you allow those bad people to leave, you don't have, you don't know where to base your own morality, and you don't know where to start your sense of history, and you don't have anybody to pick on. So that's why the liberals are so against secession. They talk about they want New England or Massachusetts to secede from the Union if Trump gets elected, or California is going to secede if Trump gets elected, or these people, the movie stars are just going to, the knitting club from hell, The View, that's Greg Gutfeld called them, The View, the knitting club from hell, they're going to leave the country if Trump gets elected. Of course, these people always make these threats and then they never leave. And I would be the first one to volunteer. I've got a pickup truck, and I can haul a lot of your furniture to wherever you want to pack it up and get out of this country.
Yeah, boy.
But anyway, so that's their argument against it. And but he's saying, you know, you can't make these people want to be together or even work together. So he one of the things he pointed out in the book is, what is the magic number in 50? Why do we have to have 50 states? Why can't we have 60? And or 70, and let these smaller groups set up their type of government that they want. They want to be conservative. They don't want to be like California. They don't want to be like New York or Massachusetts. And maybe those states up there don't want to be like us. Maybe they can split California and have North California as a conservative part of the state and South California like the liberal part of the state. Because I've worked out in California for a number of years covering rodeos out there. And once you get away from San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego, and you get over the mountains into that San Joaquin Valley where all the farms and orchards are, they hate San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego even worse than we do, because they take all their tax money and they take all their water. And, of course, we found out in the last week or two they didn't manage the water very well and, you know, didn't have these reservoirs filled up for emergencies. So there are a lot of parts, conservative parts of these liberal states that want to get away from. They talk about Eastern Oregon. You know, we think along the coast, Portland and all these real liberal parts of Oregon and Washington state. But you go over in the eastern part of the state where the wheat fields are and the farmers are, they don't want any part of that left coast. They want to get out of Oregon and become a part of Idaho or some other state. So, you know, there's reasons for that. And he discusses some of the reasons against secession that are always thrown out there. And the biggest one is, well, they say, what's going to happen to my Social Security or something like that? Where is that going to go? Well, if we're not sending tax money to Washington, the states would have plenty of money to pay your Social Security or your Medicare or something like that, or maybe even come up better with something better than Obamacare. So going to Washington, sending everything to Washington and waiting on Washington to solve our state problems is really, really a bad idea, and it puts you in a bad situation. We're going to see how much Elon Musk and Vivek can do of cleaning out the waste and the fraud in the government. It's going to be interesting to see how much money they can save if they get turned loose on this. So that's the one of the number one arguments about secession is, what's going to happen to my Medicare and Social Security? The states would take it over because they're not going to be sending money to Washington anymore. Second one is, they always say, oh, we tried secession once and that did work. That was a horrible war, and it just proves that secession wouldn't work. Well, that's kind of a misnomer and misreading history. When the Southern states seceded, it worked fine. For the seven states that left the Union, it worked fine from February of 1861 until April of 1861, when Lincoln sent an army to invade the South. And we then had to fight a four-year war and were forced at gunpoint back into the Union. And I always have people say, well, if you don't like the United States, why don't you just leave?
We tried.
Well, that's it. I said, you were reading a pornographic magazine on the back row of history class. You were not paying attention in history class because we tried for 4 years to leave. And we killed 380,000 of you, probably maimed and crippled another 100,000, and put a gun to the head of that dictator Lincoln and blew his brains out all over his wife. So we tried to leave, and you won't let us. And you talk about democracy, and 13 states plus the Indian nations voted to leave. And yet the reason those 13 states are part of the United States is because you invaded us and put a gun to our head and made us join the United States.
Yes.
What kind of democracy is that? You know, it's the democracy of the bullet in the back of your head if you don't do what we tell you. So that's the thing that you know, we need to point out, that the Confederate States of America worked fine from February of 1861 to April, when Lincoln called for an army to invade the South, and he actually sent a fleet into Charleston, invaded a sovereign country, a foreign nation, and provoked a war. And Lincoln admitted he needed a war, and he needed to make the South fire the first shot, because when those states left, that took all the money from the federal government, because the federal government was run not an income tax then, but it was run on tariffs against imported goods, and the South was paying 80 to 90% of the federal budget because of the tariffs that they had to pay on manufactured goods coming into the South from England or France or some other country. So it was protectionism to protect the Northeast businesses and income from the tariffs on imported goods. That was one of the reasons why the South left. They said, you know, we're getting screwed on this deal. We're paying the tab, and we get nothing in return for it, because all of the internal improvements, they called it back then, we call it pork barrel politics today, but all the internal improvements were going to places in the North to build railroads, national highways, canals, things like that. South is getting very little back from what they were having to pay to the federal government. And like I said, Lincoln admitted, what's going to happen to my tariffs now that these people had left? So he had to come up with some scheme. And he even admitted he needed a war, and he needed to make the South fire the first shot. So when he did, then six more states voted to leave the Union, including Arkansas, Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, and Missouri. Those two states, Kentucky and Missouri, voted the Ordinance of Secession, but their governments were run out of their state capitals by the federal army, so they sort of had a government in exile. But then the Indian nations, which is today Oklahoma, they voted to go with the Confederacy. So there were a lot of people that didn't want to be a part of the great U.S. of A. if it were run by the radical Republicans, which, you know, was pretty much a Bolshevik communist party. And you say, well, you can't say that we had communism in the United States. Well, we did under Lincoln.
We both certainly did.
Karl Marx wrote these glowing editorials and praising Lincoln that ran in the New York World, Horace Greeley's New York World. That was the big newspaper at the time, not the New York Times. But, so Karl Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto. He was talking about how great Lincoln was, because in order for communism to take over a country, you need a very, very strong central government run by the Bolsheviks or run by the communists in order to implement the communist government. And that's what we've come down to today. I hope it's going to change after Monday, but a lot of the bureaucracy and the things that are in place, you could have 10 or 15 President Trumps in a row. I don't know if they could get rid of the mess that's in Washington, so cemented in place. So anyway, that's what Thomas Wood's book's about why secession would be a good idea, and let people in New England have their own type of government they want up there. They're so upset about Donald Trump being president, and they never vote for conservative Republicans or conservative anybody. So great, let them have a liberal part region up there, whatever they want to call it, and divide off part of Western New York and let them go their own way or be a part of Canada. And the five boroughs around Manhattan or around New York City there, they're the ones that are the blue part of the state, and they control the vote of all the rest of the state. So
that's the way it is in most of these states, like Memphis control and Memphis, Nashville, the, you know, the major cities control the country people of Tennessee. Same way, you know, you just mentioned Oregon. It's yep. the same way in Washington, same way in California. We in some way, that's why we need to go to, like you said, 67. Why not even 80 states? Anyway, yeah. We've run completely out of time, Gene. And
all right.
I
hope our listeners learned a little something about the comparison between California fires and what happened to the South during the war. And then here's an answer for it at the end of the program. Yes. It's secession. Let people go their own way.
Well, if we missed anything, Gene, we'll cover it next week. Same time, same place next week. Good night, everybody.